Morning, everyone. It's good to be here. The topic I want to talk about this morning is something that I feel like I'm probably weak in. I feel like I'm probably not good at what I'm going to talk about. It's something that I want to improve in, and it's the topic of being an encouragement. The definition of encouragement is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. I want to be somebody that has the ability to, if someone needs support, I'm there to support them. If someone is unsure about something, they think they can't do it, like somebody that can give someone confidence or someone hope. If somebody feels hopeless, to be there to give encouragement. I feel like I'm weak in that area. Oftentimes, I want to talk just a little bit about the opposite of being an encouragement. And that's, I don't want to talk about that long, but this isn't to condemn anyone or point fingers. This is something that it's human nature. If we see someone that is struggling with something, it seems like the first thing we want to do is, instead of coming alongside and being an encouragement, it's easier to go whisper about them to someone else. And I feel that is very, very damaging. Proverbs 20, I think I forgot to write down the exact reference here, but it says, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." Am I someone that likes to dig up somebody else's past and to go talk about it to other people? I think we all have a past. Every one of us do. And I think we need to learn to forgive and forget people's past and not spread around stuff about people's past. "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." If we're doing that, it separates. Like, you can have the best of friends, but if one talks about the other, it divides and it separates. And I don't think we want to be part of that group. Proverbs 16:19 says, "A false witness," was talking about the six things that God hates, and the seventh is an abomination. It says, "He that soweth discord among brethren." And one way to do that is if somebody has a weakness in a certain area, instead of going alongside them and helping them, the human nature just it loves to go tell somebody else about it, and it causes nothing but damage. So today I want to talk about being an encouragement. And it's something that I want to improve in my life. And I learned something about Barnabas. Maybe everybody here already knew that, but I'm sure I read this verse before. But does anybody know what Barnabas' real name was? Acts talks about Paul and Barnabas a lot. Anybody know what his real name was? If we go to Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it says, and Josie, which it's a translation of Joseph. His actual name was Joseph. But the apostles gave him a nickname. They nicknamed him Barnabas. And the interpretation of Barnabas is the son of consolation. he was an encourager. He had a way about him that would lift people up and encourage them in their walk, so much so that they actually nicknamed him that. In Acts 11, they heard about revival. There was a revival going on in a certain part of the country. In 11:22, it says, "Then these tidings came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." So that's what he did. He would go exhort people, which is another form of encouragement. That they would with purpose in their heart that they would cleave to God and follow after God. So that is what I would like. What am I known as? Am I known as an encourager? Am I known as a Barnabas, or am I in the camp of a whisperer where I would rather not help somebody but go the long way around and actually damage? Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." When we speak pleasant words, I mean, it could be something that we appreciate about somebody, or just something that will if somebody is down and out, something that lifts them up. It brings health. I have a bunch of verses I'm going to go through here, so I might only be up here for a few minutes. Proverbs 25 says, 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." If we can put the proper word in a proper place, it's a thing of beauty. If somebody needs encouragement, if we can just give them the right word at the right time, it can make a huge difference. It's a beautiful thing. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, he hath not another to help him up." We need each other. There are times when we trip and fall, but the worst thing we can do when somebody falls is to kick them. We need to be there for each other to, if somebody has a struggle with something, to lift them up, be there, walk alongside them and say, "You know what, it's okay, you can do it. I'm here to help." And I want to be more that way. Sometimes I feel like I'm more of the type that, I don't know if the right word is indifferent, where, you know, that's their problem, or instead of going out of my way to help, I'd rather just stay quiet, or, and I don't believe that's always a good thing. Hebrews 10:24. Sorry, my printer wasn't working very good. Some of these references are kind of... It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's consider one another. Let's learn to understand, learn to know each other, put ourselves in their shoes and look for ways that we can provoke them to love and good works, like to bring improvement to the situation. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Sometimes we feel, situations in life can make you feel like, what's the point of going on? It can feel hopeless, but if somebody's there to give you a good word of encouragement, it can change the whole scene. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to, anytime we have the opportunity to give somebody a word of encouragement, here it says daily. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing. Now, admonishment is also, can be a form of encouragement. But if someone does need to be admonished, there again, the worst thing we can do is, instead of coming alongside them and helping them, The worst thing we can do is to go whisper about them. And I'm not up here saying I'm innocent of all that. It's something that it's very, very damaging to a church. I was reading through the through 1 Samuel, where David was running from Saul. And at one point he met Jonathan, and he asked Jonathan, he said, What is my sin? Like, what did I do? It's like, why is he seeking my life? Why is Saul seeking my life? And I had to think, we have an enemy that tries to knock us down, not because we're sinners, it's because Christ has forgiven us. David was faultless, but he had an enemy that was jealous of him, and he knew where David was eventually going to end up, and that's not what he wanted. David was going to, he was headed for the throne. And he said there is but a step between me and death. David felt hopeless, like this enemy is going to, he is just one step from Saul killing him. And I looked it up, and there was no definite answer, but it was about 7 to 13 years that David was running from Saul. Just constantly on the run and hiding, and today we have an enemy that it's there's a lot of likenesses that he'll try to trip you up and try to get you to fall in any way possible. And then a little later on, in 1 Samuel 23, when David was out in a forest, he was hiding. Saul was on the hunt. He was going around. Jonathan met him out there. He went out in the woods, and it says, he strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth." See, Saul knew that if he doesn't eliminate David, David is going to reign as king. And we have an enemy that knows that we are going to reign with Christ, and he does not want that to happen. And sometimes the battle can be stronger than others, where you can feel condemned. You can feel like it's hopeless. But can we be a Jonathan that goes and finds someone that is in the middle of the battle and encourages them and says, "Look, the enemy is not going to overtake you. You're going to be fine. You are someday going to reign, and the enemy knows that." First Thessalonians 5. Verse 11, it says, which is talking about the coming of Christ. And he says, "Comfort yourselves together." Like, let's encourage ourselves. Say, like that last song that we sung, I forget what it was, but it was talking about Christ's return and about being encouraged. "And edify one another, even also as ye do." It talks about edifying one another. Now, we all have shortcomings, and we all have flaws. When you edit something, you get rid of the stuff that is not necessarily the stuff that is no good. You improve it. Typically, after you edit something, it's better than what it was before. So when we edify one another, we come alongside each other, encourage one another, and if we need help, if we need comfort, we're there for each other. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, I think if we're caught in the camp of whispering about one another, that to me, I think that is probably considered corrupt communication. And it can be other things as well. But we need to be speaking things that can improve other people, edifying. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith we may edify one another." The things which make for peace. J- Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And things wherewith we may edify one another. So that's all I have. It was a good reminder for me to, before I open my mouth and whisper about someone else, like, let's do the opposite of that. Let's be a Barnabas. Let's be a Jonathan that encourages people. So this wasn't meant to be pointing any fingers. This is something that I find myself lacking in. And hopefully this was an encouragement for everyone.